that are joining us online. Just had a technical difficulty with Periscope, and we're trying to work through that. But if it doesn't work, just bear with us, and we'll do the best we can. But let's turn here to Hebrews chapter 4, and we'll read, "Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preach did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works." So that's the first rest that we were talking about. We brought in last week how there are actually three rests that are represented here in the scripture. The first being God on the seventh day rested from all his works. And then verse 5 says, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, and what that was speaking of is the children of Israel had a seventh day where they were supposed to rest. God gave them 6 days to work, and then on the seventh day it was supposed to be a rest. But we go on. Verse 6 says, "Seeing therefore remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief." Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, "Today, after so long a time, as it is said today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts." For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? And what Brother Branham brought to our understanding is that God was only using that seventh day in the beginning when he rested, and also the Sabbath day for the Jews, using it as a type, because the final resting place was not a specific day, amen, but the final resting place or the final Sabbath was a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. So once we've entered into him, then we have rest. So here, and let me just make it clear that it's one thing to be around Jesus, but it's another thing to really enter into Christ, right? That's a whole nother story. You know, you have some people that, you know, they religiously go to church. They do all the things that's necessary. But if their lives don't change, if their hearts don't change, then they really haven't come into rest. All right. And your whole purpose for coming to church is so you can figure out how to get closer to God. It's not about getting close to the pastor. It's not about getting close to some brother or sister. It's about getting close to God, right? Because the pastor ain't got a heaven and hell to put you in, and the saints ain't got a heaven and hell to put you in. That's all up to God, right? So your whole purpose is to get close to him. Amen. And oftentimes people will do things, they'll say things, just to make it pleasing to, just a man. That's not what it's all about. Don't do that, right? I mean, sometimes, you know, you can talk to people and you know that they're telling you what they think you want to hear. And that's not it. You're actually missing the point, right? It's, I don't have nowhere to put you, right? I mean, I'm trying to make it myself, right? So you know, when we talk about coming into rest, we talk about coming into Christ. Amen. And allowing him to really change your heart and when he changes you from the inside, it will reflect on the outside. It will reflect. He take all the things of the world away from you. Amen. I've seen people, and my brother-in-law is one of them. I'm going to have to, Brother Mike, just give me the whole box. Don't just give me one, because this devil attacking me, man, but I would teach anyway in Jesus' name. Y'all just bear with me. Hold on. My God. But the thing of it is, my brother-in-law is one that I know that he entered into a rest because, you know, he was, before he came to the Lord, man, he was struggling with all the things of the world. Right. I mean, his testimonies, he was a drug addict, just involved in so much stuff. but came to a church putting up drywall and had a prayer prayed over him in the back office. Nothing, I mean, nothing, no emotion, nothing. Just a prayer of faith prayed over, and Brother Wesco said, okay, get up. He's like, get up. Ain't you going to tell me to say Jesus, Jesus? No, I ain't going to tell you to say none of that. Just get up. It's over. It's finished. He said, it's finished. That's right. Went on back in there and start working. And from that day to this day, never went back to drugs. He had entered into a rest. Right? He finally got a place where he entered into a rest. And oftentimes we try to put a tear behind it. We try to put, you know, some type of emotion behind it. That ain't what we're talking about. We talk about God coming into your heart and doing something so special that couldn't nobody else do it but God. Amen. If you haven't had that type of experience, and whether some people, when they have that experience, it might make them shout. Some of them might make them jump. Some of them might make them cry. But everybody's going to be different. The key is that you're going to know when God has done something different in your heart. And it's going to reflect on the outside. It shows that you're at rest. Otherwise, you live in a mess. All right. So let's read on here. Verse 8, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. So once you've entered into the rest, Christ's rest, then you've ceased from your works as Christ, as God did his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. If you're going to work for that, right? Labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fail after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a priest, a great high priest, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. So we'll pick up here some things that we went over last week. I'm going to kind of skip forward a little bit. We'll hit right into the key statements, and then I'll go from there. Key statements, they were following Moses as Moses followed the pillar of cloud. And every time the pillar of fire moved, the church moved with it. And again, these are statements the prophet was making as he was preaching, just under inspiration. I'll continue to say, I think it's more relevant right now with all the things that are going on around us. What he was saying in 57 was more relevant now, showing that it was true prophetic insight for things that would be coming down the pike. I showed in Hebrews chapter 3 how the reason they provoke God, they complain constantly about Moses. They complained about, you know, just God leading them, you know, the direction that they were going. They found so many complaints, and that all that complaining, and Moses was a person that was promised by God, right? Abraham had said, you know, God told Abraham, your seed, I'm sojourning here 400 years, but I'm going to bring them out. I'm going to send a deliverer. I'm going to raise up a deliverer, and he's going to bring them out of this place. And here come Moses, the very fulfillment of what God had promised, and the people rejected it. Now, that's exactly what is happening today. We know Malachi 4, Revelation 10 tells us that God will send the prophet. And if we're going to reject the prophet, we cannot put ourselves in heaven doing that, right? The same way that they missed the promised land by rejecting the prophet, people will miss a rapture today by rejecting the prophet. And oftentimes what people try to do is get you to they give you some compromising story. You know, if a person didn't know no better, these are key words. If a person didn't know no better, you mean they missed the rapture if they didn't know no better? Well, the answer to that, we're not talking about the person that don't know no better. We talk about the one that does know better. Now, you telling me they gonna make the rapture when they know better? That's the one we worried about, right? Don't worry about the one that don't know no better, but the one that do know better and intentionally rejects it. As we get further down in Hebrews, y'all gonna see that Paul makes some very critical statements, especially in Hebrews 10. He tells them, said, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. I didn't put that there. The Bible say that. So this is dangerous ground. This is not just being church members. This is very dangerous ground. God promised you something in his word. He does it, and you reject it. Boy, I tell you, that's dangerous. If you ever want to see your mother get upset, tell her how hungry you are. Have her go in there and slave over that stove. Bring it to you. And then you stand up or you sit there and say, I don't want that. If you want to see the dynamics change in your home, right? I mean, you will pull something out your mama you never saw before. You don't want that. Right? After everything that I just did, you talk about you don't want, you're going to eat this. See, you know, but you will bring the anger of God out by rejecting what he promised you, knowing the situation that you was going to be in. He gave you something to get you out of it, and you're going to reject it. It just remind me of the story of the man died and went to heaven. It was a flood, and the flood came, and he ended up on his roof. And so a little raft come by and said, come on, we're going to safety. Come on, get in. He said, no, I'm just waiting on God. And then I think a helicopter come by and drop the rope down, you know, to pull him, you know, and take him on. No, I'm just waiting on God. Well, he died. And Lord, what happened? I was waiting on you. I sent a raft. I sent a helicopter. What else did you want me to do? Right. So here God promises certain things, but I think the way people, their expectations are wrong. They're not according to scripture. Right. And God is not changing his plan to fit our thoughts, but our thoughts have to change to fit God's plan. All right. Let's go on a little further. Next one is in this last day to the Gentile church, God has appeared again. Same sign, same wonder, same pillar of fire, vindicated, proven, let us not harden our hearts and fall in that temptation back yonder of unbelief. Every circumstance they come to, they begin to murmur and say every little fault they found with Moses. Begin to chide and chatter against him. And God was displeased because he said they were sinning. Now, again, I want y'all to, if you go back and read in the Bible, Moses didn't actually hear them say these things. They said it within their tents. God heard them. And if I could just bring it a little bit closer to home, Brother Brandon, I'm not here to hear people say what they're saying. God hears it. Amen. All right. Don't look at the messenger. Listen to the message and believe it. Praise the Lord. That's 57, y'all. Don't look at the messenger. Listen to the message and believe it. And the problem is people don't know what the message is. I can tell y'all right now, God did not send the prophet here. He did not raise him up just to preach about televisions, radio. That wasn't the purpose. That wasn't the mystery that he was bringing, the mystery of television and the mystery of radio. Now, he made comments so that you can understand how God thinks about some of these things, right, so that you don't get too comfortable with that, right? But he wasn't here to talk about football and basketball and hockey. That's not why God sent the prophet. That ain't got nothing to do with no mysteries. But when we talk about what happened in the Garden of Eden, when we talk about water baptism, right? When we talk about three gods versus one God, right? Now you're talking the message. Okay, now we talk, and his, what he brought, the revelation that he brought, restored truth that was lost over the years. That's the message. Amen. The mysteries of God would be finished. Those are the mysteries. Praise the Lord. And so many others that we could, I mean, talk about the speaking of tongues was not the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Right? I mean, there's so many others that are out there. He gave a scripture to base it on. Glory to God. Now, when you went to the church, if you didn't speak in tongues, you didn't have to, I mean, you didn't have to feel like you didn't have the Holy Ghost. He gave you revelation. He gave you understanding. He gave you that. Thank God. That's the message. That's what we're talking about. Praise the Lord. And even somebody said, well, Brother Branham wasn't the first one to preach it. We realized that. But he was the first one that you heard preach it. Right? Because it was lost before you got a hold of it. But he's the first one you heard preach it. So God had to use some voice to restore it. Praise the Lord. And anytime you're restoring something, it meant that somebody had it before. Paul had it before. Paul preached it. And Brother Branham said, I preached the same thing Paul preached. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But you weren't living here in Paul's time. Amen. All right. So, church, we're trying to get back to the word. And I love this. It says, if you can't see this revelation, don't ask the bishop. Ask God. Don't ask your pastor. Ask God. The Son reveals him. He personal pronoun. And I could inject, don't ask Google. If you can't see this revelation, don't ask Google. Praise the Lord. Ask God. All right. Now, haven't you had a lot of temptations? Don't complain about them. Rejoice. God is with you. See, that quote right there went with Sunday sermon. Amen. Don't complain about them. Rejoice. God is with you. It says, we are tempted of all kinds of things, but yet be tempted without sinning. Oh, Lord, that's a good one. Right? Because when you've truly entered into rest, you're going to be tempted, but you ain't going to fall in sin. The devil bring liquor in your path, but you ain't drinking that liquor. The devil bring a cigarette in your path. You ain't smoking it. When you've really entered into rest, those things don't happen no more. Praise the Lord. I mean, I think we're going to hit this, but even if some young lady is walking in front of you, you ain't rolling down your window trying to get her number. When you done entered into rest, you put a cross in your car and you turn your head and go the other way. All right, that's true rest. All right, now. Or if she coming after you, you know, trying to get your number, you ain't sitting there giggling. And she want my number. Pray for her lost soul. Rebuke her real good. So she won't be asking nobody else nothing like that. All right. A pilgrim that's on his road to heaven, he lives in a different atmosphere. You don't have to worry about him looking at her. He'll turn his head if he's got God in his heart. For he's living in an atmosphere that's a million miles from those things. That's right. You don't have to be guilty of that stuff at the judgment. So he turns his head and says, God, have mercy on the woman, and on he goes. If God doesn't act the same when the same circumstances arise, then God is guilty of being partial to his people. God's sovereignty demands of him to work in every case like he did the first case, or he was wrong when he worked in the first case. He also said, our rest is the Holy Ghost. And when you enter into this rest, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you cease from your own worldly works. Amen. When you truly have received the Holy Ghost. And that's the Holy Ghost is God's spirit. And God's spirit ain't going to feed on a lot of mess. It ain't. Remember that the title is Holy Ghost. It's going to cause you to live a holy life. When you claim to have the Holy Ghost, ain't no way you're going to be, you know, living some ungodly life. Praise the Lord. The Holy Ghost won't let you sit and look at anything on television. That's like saying, and when you say you can sit there and look at that, that's like saying Jesus would be okay sitting there looking at that. And you know that ain't, because that's his spirit that you claim that you got. Right. So and you can't tell me Jesus would feel comfortable sitting there looking at that. Praise the Lord. Amen. If he got mad enough to just beat people out of a church that was handling money the wrong way, what do you think he'd do with a television? He'd do what the prophet said. Take a gun and blow that thing up. That's what the prophet said. All right. Amen. But you, when you got the Holy Ghost, you just don't live and act any kind of way. You don't do that. Amen. All right. Let's go on here. I am going to skip to slide 10. Is it possible to get me to 10? You just turn with me, Hebrews 4:8, as we're pulling up that slide, Hebrews 4:8. The prophet says, "For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward had spoken of another day?" So again, this is something where we realize it's the first time that rest was spoken of was, or Sabbath was spoken of, was when God rested on the seventh day and ceased from his works. The second time was when the law was given and he gave rest to he gave them a day of rest there in the book of Exodus. But when Jesus, you know, came along, he talked about rest, but the rest was not another day. The rest was the person, you know, of the Lord Jesus. So we'll go into that in a little bit. The prophet said, just hit next for me there, please. It says, if there was to be a Sabbath, if there was to be a Sunday keeping, then he would have spoke of it. If he had said, now there's no more Sabbath, no more keeping the seventh day, what I want you to keep is Sunday, he'd have said it. Paul said he did. He'd have said, you all worship on Sunday, that'll be the rest. See, and that was never spoken of by the Lord. So even, you know, when you got the Seventh-day Adventists that are, you know, kind of arguing about going to church on Saturday versus, you know, others going to church on Sunday, that really shouldn't be an argument. And, you know, I got some neighbors that are Seventh-day Adventists, and I've been promising them, one day I'm going to shock them. I'm going to church with them on a Saturday. I'm going to just go to church with them, sit down, and, you know, because it don't bother me. And I pray that I go to church with them on a Saturday. All right. Because y'all ain't having church on Sunday. Amen. You got to learn how to be wise and win people. And don't make it an issue. It's not an issue. You understand the rest is Christ. It's not a day. It's not Saturday. It's not Sunday. It's not that. It's Christ. Amen. Glory to God. And let me tell you, that the Jehovah's Witness, I mean, the Seventh-day Adventists, they are actually reading out of the same Bible that you're reading. It's just they got stuck on something. Every denomination does that. They get stuck on something and make a doctrine out of it. But I'm like, no, that's not what it's all about. You know, the rest is Christ. You know, recently, these same neighbors, they had their son, their second son was getting ready to go off to college for his last 2 years. And I said, now, before you go, let me know before you go. And I didn't tell him what I wanted to do, but his dad was out. And I told his dad, I said, now, before he go, I want to pray over him before he goes. And he says, okay, all right. And one day I was getting out of my car, and the dad said, you know what, he actually getting ready to go, and I think he'll be leaving in the morning. I said, okay. They want to take a family picture, so I said, I'll snap the picture for y'all and everything. He said, Pastor, you're going to come pray for my son? I said, yeah, I'll pray for him. I said, okay, let's come on inside the house. And they invited me inside the house, and we all gathered around the boy and put him in the middle, and I prayed over him. And just ask God to bless him and keep him, you know, before he left to, you know, to go off to service, to school. And, you know, just little things like that go a long way with people, because you wonder if they pastor actually prayed over the boy. right? But it's like, no, I mean, you know, the best thing I can do for you is pray over you. That's the best thing I can do. That's better than putting some money in your pocket. Pray God's covering over you, right? But it was just a blessing to be able to do that, you know. And I told him, say, one day I'm going to church with y'all. Y'all let me know where y'all church is. I'm coming right up in there. Praise the Lord, because I know it ain't about that. Who knows? One day I might even get a chance to preach there on a Saturday. If he'd have said it, Paul said he did. Yeah, he'd have said it. You all worship on Sunday. That'll be the rest. Well, if he'd have wanted them to keep the Sabbath, he'd have said it. He'd have said, just remain keeping the seventh day. But now I want you to keep Sunday, the eighth day. No, he never said it. He said, if Jesus would have given them a day, would he have not spoken of it? All right. And as we just kind of go forward here, verse 9 and 10. Amen. In Hebrews, it says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Now, we want to prove this. We stopped here last week and we got to pick up and go forward from here. Hit next for me, please. We want to go forward from here. There's a couple of scriptures that I need to bring in. And just a statement that was made here, the prophet says, now the thought is, if we are on our way to rest, what is the rest? Where is it? Is it joining church? Is it being baptized a certain way? Is it becoming a member of the greatest church in the city? Wearing better clothes? Is it education? Is it money? So we can quit work and they just... and just lay down, rest the rest of our life, as we call it. That's not it, right? That's not the rest that we're talking about, you know, retiring and resting. That's not it. Wearing better clothes. No, that's not it. Being a part of the greatest church, that's not it. The rest is found in Christ. A couple other statements that he makes here before we just kind of pull up some scriptures. You're going to have to hit next three times for me, I believe. It says, God in the beginning was spirit, and then from God went out the logos or the theophany, which was a form of man called the Son of God, prefigured. He came in earth in a body of flesh even before he came in Jesus Christ. It says, now what is the rest? Turn with me to Matthew, the 11th chapter, and the last part of the 11th chapter, St. Matthew. We'll find out the rest. You can get that in your Bibles. Matthew 11, we read that last week, but I'll bring it back in again this week. Also, he says, what happens? You get the Holy Ghost. Christ comes into you. Is that right? And when you enter into this rest, you cease from your own worldly works like God did from his. While you are part of God, you rest eternally. There you are. That's the Sabbath. Come unto me, all you that labor. So let's pick this up. We're going to read three scriptures. I want to start with Matthew 11. Then we're going to read Isaiah 28 and then Acts chapter 2. Matthew 11, this the final resting place, the Sabbath, this final Sabbath that Paul is referring to is Christ himself. The Bible makes that very clear here. Matthew 11, verse 25 through 30. And at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hath revealed them unto babes. My God. You want to always stay that way in Christ. Just stay humble. Don't try to become a know-it-all. Don't try to become a know-it-all. Anytime anybody trying to get more revelation than the prophet, I think they're really missing it. You don't even understand how the scripture works. Right. God said all the mysteries would be revealed through this man. So there are no more mysteries. Only thing we can do is echo what has already been said. Now, God might give us a little inspiration around it, you know, but it's not going to be a deeper revelation. You know, it's just, you know, you get too deep, you get lost in your own revelation. Right. But anytime somebody trying to do that, they're actually missing they're really missing what the Bible promised. Verse 26 says, "Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." So see, this is why it's important. If you don't understand, you ask God, right? Ask God for revelation. Verse 28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," or Sabbath, right? "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest," or Sabbath, "unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light," right? And now, the other thing about, you know, when you're yoked with Christ, the person in the lead position carries most of the weight. All you do is just work with them. But when he tells you to take his yoke upon you, he's actually carrying most of the weight for you, right? You end up carrying a lot of weight when you're not yoked with him. But if you just get connected with him, then you can really have a Sabbath. Amen. Over here in Isaiah 28, it also promised this Sabbath, this rest. Isaiah 28. There's a lot here. Verse 7, we'll start. "But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink and are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine, they are out of the way. Through strong drink, they err in vision, they stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean." My God. Now that says all tables, not just some. But all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. For whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Now, see, this, you know, everybody that just, salvation is just one of the teachings of Christianity. It's not the only teaching. So when we want to know doctrine, we want to go even beyond salvation. Who can he teach that to? Who can he make to understand that? Right, them that are weaned from the milk, oh glory, and drawn from the breast. This means they done grew up a little bit. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, "This is the rest," all right, or the Sabbath. "This is the rest wherein ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear." But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. All right, so this rest that is speaking of here is talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost that actually came, you know, at Pentecost. So now let's pick up Acts 2. That's the refreshing that came from the Lord. That's the refreshing. Oh, glory. All right, this refreshing that came from the Lord, Acts 2, verse 1. And it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind." Now let's understand that Pentecost did not occur until everybody was under one accord. So if there was a church that was looking for a Pentecostal blessing, but there was division in the church, how could there be a Pentecostal blessing under division? The Pentecostal blessing can't come until everybody is in one accord. Praise the Lord. So once things are set in one accord, watch God. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. I love that. Notice, I mean, you can just be sitting just like we're sitting right now. The Holy Spirit come pouring in there. Glory to God. See, where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And look at this, verse 4 says, and they were all filled. Not one person left that upper room without the Holy Ghost. Not one person left that upper room and had not entered into their own personal Sabbath rest. Church, that's what we're looking for. We don't want to play games with this. We want every person to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And when you got it, it will clean your life up. Amen. I mean, I was thinking about, you know, this week, man, just a blessed service. Got so many people saying how blessed they were by the service on Sunday. And I'm grateful for that. But I'm like, Lord, I want you to do a little bit more. I mean, we need you in the hearts of everybody. Right. We don't want to just hear it with our ears and just be blessed, you know, by a little, you know, little something that to kind of get us stirred up. We want it coming inside. Become part of us. That's what we want. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. See, this is the true rest. This is the Sabbath, you know, that we're looking for. Amen, and that's promise to the believers. I got a pretty extensive quote on this that I want to read. It's quite lengthy. Let's see here. Yeah. I got to skip over some of it. Okay, on my notes page for slide 11, I'm going down to paragraph 158, and I'm going to start reading from there. And this is out of Hebrews chapter 4. The prophet, you know, through his teaching on this, he took us back to Isaiah 28. And so he makes some comments here, and I just want to bring that forward. He says, turn with me to Isaiah, the 20th chapter, and let's read Isaiah, the 20th chapter. See what the prophet said about it. Matthew 20, begin at the 8th verse. Here is the predicament of the last days. We got to close in a minute, for all tables will be is full of vomit, and there's no place clean. Let me stop a minute. As Ernie said the other night, he was talking to somebody, Ernie Fandler, this brother here from Switzerland. He said, I stopped and let it soak in. I want to soak in. There's no place clean, for all the tables will be full of vomit. That's just something to me. All the tables will be full of vomit. And notice this. This is a scripture. As a dog goes to his vomit, and a sow to her wallow, so does the people turn back. That's a striking statement, right? First of all, we left certain situations because of what was going on there. We left that. We had unwanted circumstances And many of those denominations that we were in, we left there for a reason. Outside of, and we didn't even know that we were looking for more word. We didn't even know that. We just knew that what they had wasn't enough for us. But when we come in contact with this word, that settled some things for us. Then we understood who we really were in Christ, right? But all those tables were full of vomit. We went from Baptist to Pentecost to this to that. We was all over the place, right? And now what you're seeing is people doing the exact same thing. The stuff that they regurgitated, they're going right back to. That is something that's very sad to see. Very sad to see. Any person that would do that, there's something wrong. There's something wrong, right? But the Bible is telling if a dog go to his vomit, and if you ever had a dog and you seen a dog do that, you hit that dog, get that dog away from that. That's just, it's like, no, don't do that. That's not right. So the Bible says a dog goes to vomit, a sow to her wallow, so does the people. And the prophet added this, so does the people turn back. Them brothers on the road to on the road to Emmaus, they were getting ready to turn back. My God, they had a visitation. They had a visitation from Jesus Christ himself, and it stopped them from going back to where they're going to go. We need another stranger in the bush. I hope you understand what I'm saying. We need another stranger to come out the bush and stop some people on their road to Emmaus and have a conversation with them. And the thing that Jesus did, before he worked a miracle, he began to, explain scripture, expound upon them scripture, right? And did not our hearts burn as he just began to break down the scriptures for us. Because they were looking at things the wrong way. And all we need is, Lord, let the stranger come out the bush. Have a visit with some of these people that's on their way back to Emmaus. And have them turn around. Glory to God. Listen, what's the matter with you, Methodists? You used to have the light. What happened? God took it out of your hand and he gave it to the Nazarene. What happened to you, Nazarene? You once had the light. God took it out of your hands and gave it to the Pentecostals, correct? You, Church of God, and the rest of you holiness people, because you rejected the light, you denominated yourself and said, we won't believe any more than this. God moved right on out and showed you he had people who would follow him. What happened to you, Pentecostals? You had the light. God has took it away from you. The pillar of fire moves on. Every time the pillar of fire moved, the church moved with it. And when Luther organized out of the Catholic Church, his own church, the pillar of fire moved and Wesley went with it. All right. That is so important. I remember being in church years ago, and there was a sister that kind of asked the question, like, you know, what was the matter with Pentecost? You know, you say that we moved on. What was the matter? It was the way that they denominated. Right. That was the big issue. If you really understood the history of Pentecost and even before the power of God fell. There to Sousa Street, and how, you know, you had the blacks in one place and the whites in another place, and you know, here William Seymour couldn't even sit in a classroom to learn the word of God, right? Because he was of a different color skin. When they finally broke those barriers and they worshiped together, you know, at Sousa Street. But before you know it, the barriers came right back up. And they separated, and you had Assembly of God going one way and the Church of God in Christ going another way. And all it was the whites going this way and the blacks going that way. And if you got that coming out of a move of God, something went wrong somewhere. Right? Something went totally wrong somewhere. And so you can see that God left that. God is not a God of division. That ain't the way God work, right? So God left that. I mean, he let them go right on having their experiences, but God left that and he moved on. He brought a furtherance of the word. Amen. That's what this message came to do. It went beyond that. Now, the problem is with the messages that one of the problems is that we stop preaching the Pentecostal blessing. Amen. We preach that right out of the church. And don't get me wrong, not that we major on gifts, but it would be nice to see some gifts, not no gifts. Amen. We preach to where there's no gifts, but it would be nice to see some gifts in operation. Everything that the Bible promised, why can't we have it? Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. On the day of Pentecost, they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. So that should be a common thing here in church. Not you know, interrupting the preacher or nothing like that, but, man, the Spirit of God get to move in here after a good sermon. My God, let go and let God have his way in here. And we're not talking about, you know, somebody that come with a plan. You know, how the lady did it, Brother Branham, you know, here she come the first night, she got a message, you know, and she'd take off with that message and right after the sermon, you know, she'd take off with that message. So they noticed it, not just Brother Branham, but even his son. Everybody start noticing a pattern here. So then next night, she'd take off again. The third night, she actually come and tell people before she gonna do it. That's not the Spirit giving you utterance. She tell people, I got another message from the Lord tonight. I got one. So when he finished the sermon and Brother Billy Paul told Jesse, that lady's here again, Daddy, and she got a message, say, okay, I'm watching her. And so he wound up his sermon, he's still talking, and you know, and they say they watched her fix up her stockings. I mean, like, she get ready to do something. I mean, she, you know, those ladies take her time, fix up her stockings and everything. Like, you know, and as soon as he just got a, he gave a little break, she just bust out with a word. He say, "Sit down," and she say, she's kind of, I don't think he's talking. Sit down. Yes, I'm talking to you. Sit down. Ooh. Man, her pastor got mad. The people in her church got mad. Everybody was upset with the prophet, and they came after her pastor. Oh no! She had a word from the Lord. You should have. He said, no. The Bible say the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets, and I was in the pulpit at the time. I wasn't finished doing what I was doing. Well, her word was more fresh than yours. He said, well, her word was outside of God's word, and anytime she come to my service, I'm gonna tell her to sit down. She had a spirit on her. Right, that's not what we're talking about. We're not looking for that. And if that was to happen, we have to tell people to sit down too. Amen. But we do want what God has promised for his body. And I'm going to tell you, some churches, we would yield more to the Spirit of God. We'll see God doing more. And let me tell you another thing. If God were to use you in that capacity, you ought to want to give God more of your life, more surrender. Right? It's not for a show. This is for the edification of the body of Christ. God use you like that, you ought to want to be able to pray more. You ought to want to be able to just do a lot more. Just do more for the Lord. Amen. Stay humble before God. Let's read, you know. So Brother Branham is going on, I'm at paragraph 160. Yeah, 163. Okay. Then what happened? The next thing happened. The Pentecost seen the fire, and away they went. And what did you do? Made a doctrine out of the tongue and organized it. Everybody had to speak in tongues before they got the Holy Ghost. Then God moved right away and left you sitting where you're at. What happened to you? You won this. You found baptism, Jesus' name. You made a doctrine out of it. Separated yourself from the rest of it, and God moved right away and left you sitting there. Right? What happened to you, Assembly of God, old General Council? You made an organization out of yours, and God moved right away and left you set. Now you're nothing but a cold former bunch like the rest of them are. And the pillar fire moves on. Hallelujah. All tables are full of vomit. So you can't go back to none of that. Right? I mean, none of that's going to work. All the tables are full of vomit. Here it says, looky here. What shall he make known doctrine? I mean, who shall he make known a doctrine? Them that are weaned from the breast, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. The other day, a neighbor of mine come. He said, Billy, a certain pastor here in this city, the most lovely little person you ever seen, said, wife and I were sitting with our pajamas on about midnight, and that little pastor run in, and he drank some coffee with us, and he took out over to the other neighbor's house, and he shook hands with them. They was having a little card game, and he sat down and played cards with them. Said, oh, he was the most sociable little fella you ever seen. Said, oh, we love him. We wouldn't get rid of him for nothing. I stood there a little bit. I thought, well, said, oh, don't you think that every church needs a man like that? I couldn't answer that. He said in another little place that they had such a lovely place. This minister and his wife, lovely people, went out and deal with the children so much till they had a Bible school, and said they just had so many, just overflowed the thing with little children. Said, my, he can tell all the kinds of little stories to the little children. I said, that's nice. That's awful nice. I went back. I just came from Canada. I thought, here I am, my people. What's the matter with me? I don't do that. I went to wash in my car. I thought, God, I'm getting to be an old man, and here I am. I've fought, I've cried, I've begged, and anything I get is big blasphemy. Anything, let somebody say something bad about you, oh, the old holy roller, something like that. I thought about that, and a voice came to me and said, them men is all right if they're doing that, but I never called you to do that. I call you to take the sword and stand there like Joshua and challenge, brother. Not fool around with some old society or some church organization, but challenge the devil. Stand in the forefront, make right right and wrong wrong. Preach the word and find out who has got the faith to believe it. Lay her out there. I got to speeding up on the car all time watching. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Felt good. Then it's all right, Lord. I'll grip her a little tighter, and I want to die with it in my hand. Who can I make no doctrine? Listen, tables are full of vomit. Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Now watch, for precept as that upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and with other tongues will I speak to this people, to whom it is said, this is the Sabbath wherein ye shall cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshments. Yet they would not hear, for the word of the Lord came unto them. Somebody preached it. Precept upon precept, upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Says, what is the rest? When did the rest come? When people spoke with other tongues and had stammering lips, they didn't speak nothing, they stammered. When did that happen? On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost come, that is the rest. The Holy Ghost. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you life, eternal life, Zoe, God's own life. God will come into you and be a part of you. He will give you a birth and make you a son and daughter. I tell you what, that is the true rest. And once you've entered in, it shows. It shows, you know, you can, Jesus said, by their fruit you'll know them, right? So it shows once you've actually entered into that rest. And church, I tell you what, there is really no, there is no turnaround going back. Peter, when they asked him, you know, will you also go? And Peter said, well, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? He says, only you got the words of eternal life, right? There was no need to, like a dog, to return to the thing that you regurgitated years ago. There was no need to go back to that. I know for me, I can't go back to that. I can't go back to that. Most people that I've seen actually that leave the message, they'll just go to the world, but they know they can never get comfortable in denomination. They never. And they're never even comfortable in the world. There's no place to go. Right, I just stay with Christ. He's all that I ever need. Amen. All that I'll ever need. Here, the next slide, we'll just read this, and we'll close here tonight. Verse 11, and hit next for me, please. Hebrews 4:11 says, "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." And the statement that the prophet makes says, what is it? The pillar of fire is here. The angel of the Lord is with us. He's doing the very same things that he said he would do. And people stumble around and say, oh, well, I guess it's all right. That's pretty good. Oh, I guess it's okay. Be careful that you don't fall in the same snare of unbelief. You take it with all your heart. And this is a warning, amen, to everybody. Be careful. Don't fall into that same snare of unbelief. You can see patterns just in Scripture. Even Christ himself come as the fulfillment of very scriptures. And there were some people that had a problem seeing him in that light. You know, I'm sure when Moses was on the scene, there were some that had a problem seeing him in the light of being the fulfillment of the deliverer. Some just looked at him as, and, you know, it even rose up saying, you ain't the only holy one among us. Moses never claimed to be the only holy one among them. There was actually a time where God took the spirit that was on Moses and gave it to 70 other men. So they had the same spirit Moses had. So he never claimed that, right? And Brother Branham never claimed to be the only holy one among us either, right? He actually gave credit to a lot of other men of God, you know, that were here. But he also knew what his role was, what his purpose was. As we, you know, we get deeper into this study, I already start preparing, you know, my notes on Hebrews chapter 5. And when you listen to the tape, you realize Brother Branham didn't really hit a lot on Hebrews chapter 5. And the reason he didn't hit a lot, he'll make a key statement. He said, Brother Neville preached it. I wasn't here the night that he preached it. And you know what Brother Branham did? He did not go back over it, over the top of Brother Neville. He let what Brother Neville say be established in the church. And he moved on to chapter 6. That's a man that's not acting like he the only holy one among us. He's a real Christian, y'all. He's a real Christian, real example of Christianity. And just thank God for it. So we'll stop here and we'll pick up, you know, starting at verse 12 on next week. And we'll try to bring it home from there. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for God, this time to just really dig into your word and just look at these little nuggets that the prophet leaves for us. Lord, just everything that was done, that you allowed to happen, everything you did through his ministry was for purpose. It certainly helps us to understand you even a little bit more. Things that we've longed to understand over the years, this message has brought enlightenment to us. We're grateful for that. And God, our prayers that you would help us to not fall into the same snare of unbelief. The devil is busy. We pray, God, that you give many, Lord, on the road to Emmaus experience. Those brothers, Cleopas and his friend, were headed back to the old way, headed back to doing things they used to do. But God, you stepped from behind the bush in Luke 24. You came from behind that bush and you had a conversation with them. And by the time they finished talking with you, they ran back into the city to tell them that you were alive. Their feet got lighter. Lord, if you can reveal yourself to Cleopas, you can reveal yourself to others today. So we pray that you, Lord, we ask that you would send revelation, and nobody can get it. We can't go to Google. We can't go to the pastor. We can't go to the bishop. We can't go to this person, that person. We can come to Christ. Reveal yourself to us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.